Hello, my friends. Welcome. You know, it's always easier to follow a path when you choose it and you know where you're going, isn't it? But what happens when you have no clue where that path is going and no GPS to help you out when you make that wrong turn? Well, thankfully, you and I are blessed to have something even better. A God who's there with us, a God who loves us, a God who wants to guide our path and get us where we need to be. Just one hitch. We have to agree to follow. Let's turn to Him now as we begin our worship. Let us pray. Lord, we confess that we are all feeling a little lost right now, with no clear path out of this unwanted and unchosen territory. Help us to trust you, Lord, and to follow where you lead, even when it's not where we think we want to go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Psalm 116, the message. I love God because he listened to me, listened as I begged for mercy. He listened so intently as I laid out my case before him. Death stared me in the face. Hell was hard on my heels, up against it. I didn't know which way to turn. Then I called out for God to help. Please, God, I cried out, save my life. God is gracious. It is he who makes things right, our most compassionate God. God takes the side of the helpless. When I was at the end of my rope, he saved me. What can I give back to God for the blessings he poured out on me? I'll lift high the cup of salvation, a toast to God. I'll pray the name of God. I'll complete what I promised God I'd do. And I'll do it together with his people. When they arrive at the gates of death, God welcomes those who love him. Oh God, here I am, your servant, your faithful servant. Set me free for your service. I'm ready to offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and pray in the name of God. I'll complete what I promised God I'd do, and I'll do it in the company of his people, in the place of worship, in God's house, in Jerusalem, God's city. Hallelujah. Risen Lord Jesus, what is it that keeps us from recognizing you?
Often we are so full of ourselves that it's easy to block you right out of our lives.
Maybe it's the way we interpret scripture that obscures the signs pointing to you.
Perhaps we are guilty of being slow of heart when we don't recognize you in our neighbor or in the guise of the poor or the dispossessed.
Our eyes and ears have become so crammed with the sights and sounds of living that we simply fail to see you or recognize your voice.
Risen Lord Jesus, help us to empty ourselves of all that hinders our awareness of your presence with us. Fill us with the joy of knowing your continuing presence, so that, like those travelers on the way to Emmaus, we too hasten to share the great good news with others. Amen.
Dear ones, we all try, we all fail, but we must never, ever give up. For our Lord Jesus came not to condemn us, but to forgive us. And thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Our prayers don't end there. So please join me as we continue to lift our joys and our sorrows to the one who comforts us and strengthens us. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, we confess that our hearts are heavy right now, and our minds are filled with unanswered questions. What is happening, Lord? Why? What lies ahead, and how do we safely and wisely navigate this unknown path? Like the psalmist in so many generations of those who've gone before us, we cry out to you, seeking your will and the assurance that you hear us, that you love us, that you're there for us in our time of deep distress. Set us on your path, Lord. Help us to see in new ways and to use our time in meaningful ways. Help us to be faithful in all we do and to follow where you lead, even when the path is unclear and unknown and even frightening. We pray not just for ourselves, Lord, but for all your children everywhere, especially those who are most vulnerable, those who are suffering greatly, those who are risking their own lives and well-being to ease suffering and to help others be safe. We lift up friends and loved ones, our beloved church family, as each one is dealing with new challenges and losses and pain. And even as our hearts are heavy, we also come to you with deep gratitude, Lord. For even in the midst of deepest darkness, you shine your bright light. We thank you for your many gifts to us, big and small. And we thank you for a new appreciation of our blessings. We thank you for new ways of seeing and a growing awareness of what is most important. We thank you for new ways to see ourselves as your church and new ways to share and give and serve. May each gift be blessed and used according to your purpose, Lord, to further your kingdom. We pray, Lord, that we too may be gold in the making, and that this refiner's fire may bring out the best in each of us, and that we too may discover that overflowing joy that comes in spite of circumstances, that joy that comes through loving you and our brothers and sisters as ourselves. All these things we pray, Lord, in the name of your Son Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our lesson today comes from 1 Peter. Hear God's word. You call out to God for help, and he helps. He's a good father that way. But don't forget, he's also a responsible father and won't let you get by with sloppy living. Your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. And this was no afterthought. Even though it was only lately, at the end of the ages, that it became public knowledge, God always knew he was going to do this for you. It's because of this sacrificed Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God, that you know you have a future with God. Now that you've cleaned up your lives by following the truth, love one another as if your lives depended on it. Your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. That's why the prophet said, the old life is grass life, its beauty as short-lived as wildflowers. Grass dries up, flowers droop. God's word goes on and on forever. This is the word that conceived the new life in you. You are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Amen. Well, it had to happen eventually. I just didn't expect it to happen so soon. Our little grandson, baby Edsel, he's now, 16 months? And he has discovered the no word. and he is loving it. He's saying no every chance he gets, from what I hear. Well, I think we all sort of enjoy that no word, don't we? I mean, at least the sense of being in control, the sense of calling our own shots. And I guess we kind of appreciate it even more these days. We're in a situation where we feel we have very little control, don't we? Where we are just having to wait and see on so many things, hoping for the best, but not knowing what lies ahead. We've probably never in our lifetimes been in such situations where we've had so little control. Well, the people that the author of 1 Peter was writing to, they were dealing with sort of a similar situation. There they were. They were exiles. They were living in a foreign country. They were trying to find their way, trying to trust, but not knowing, not sure of what lies ahead. But one of the things I learn over and over in these situations where I have absolutely no control is that God indeed is the good Father. And he takes these situations that are frightening, that are unknown, that remove the things we've trusted, and he uses them as ways to shape us. Around the time that I was going through my cancer journey, my dear friend and colleague, Conrad Kaltenbach, who was a wonderful photographer, gave me a photograph that has meant so much. In fact, I've kept it hanging in front of my desk so I could see it every day. And during those times of doubt and worry, it's been a source of comfort. It's called Becoming. And it reminds me how we are not yet the people God created us to be. And as we look at the scriptures, and as we look at history, we find that we're all being chipped away at all the things that aren't supposed to be us to bring out the selves that we are indeed supposed to be. It also reminds me of a story that I found soon after Conrad gave me this photo. And it's about when Michelangelo was chipping out this giant piece of marble, and it drew great crowds all wondering what he was doing, what would come out of it. And there was a little girl who finally asked, What are you making? What are you doing? And he responded that he was freeing the angel inside that stone. Well, I keep finding that these circumstances that we don't want are doing exactly that. As I'm talking to people, as I'm hearing the stories of the generosity, the kindness, I'm reminded that we're not yet the people we're called to be, but that in difficult circumstances, we start seeing glimpses of those angels that are coming out of stone. We are without a doubt going through a challenging time. We talk about this each week with hope that things will change, and rapidly. And each week we see that this is going to take us longer than we had hoped, longer than we had planned. But could it be that God is doing something that is greatly needed? Could it be that even as we are in these circumstances that we wouldn't choose, that God is doing some things that have been needed for some time? This week, I came across a reading from Arunhati Roy, who's an award-winning author. And she wrote, "What is this thing that has happened to us? It's a virus, yes. In and of itself, it holds no moral belief. But it's definitely more than a virus. It's made the mighty kneel and brought the world to a halt like nothing else could. Our minds are still racing back and forth, longing for a return to normality, trying to stitch our future to our past and refusing to acknowledge the rupture. But the rupture exists. And in the midst of this terrible despair, it offers us a chance to rethink the doomsday machine we've built for ourselves. Nothing can be worse than a return to normality. Historically, pandemics have forced humans to break with the past and imagine their world anew. This one is no different. It's a portal, a gateway between one world and the next, and we can choose to walk through it, dragging the carcasses of our prejudice and hatred, our avarice, our data banks and dead ideas, our dead rivers and smoky skies behind us. Or we can walk through it lightly, with little luggage, ready to imagine another world and ready to fight for it. We have an opportunity, and we mustn't cling to what is past. We mustn't cling to those things just because they feel safe. God is trying to make something new. He's trying to bring out the angels in each of us. And we have to let go of being in charge. And we have to trust that the Father, who created us and knows us, does indeed know what is best for our future and for each of us. We also need to remember that we are here to be his instruments, and we have no better time to serve than right now. Let us pray. Lord God, in this unexpected time, help us. Help us to seek your will and your way. Help us to let go of the past and embrace what you're doing for our future. Help us to be bold in this and to be trusting. Amen. My friends, together with God, we will not only get through this, but we're going to see some amazing things. So now may you go forward in his strength, in his mercy, in his love for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen, and God bless you.